It's Sextastic Tuesday.
Fucking snatch weasels.
Oh, shit, get out!
Oh my god!
Crazy.
If you know that youngling, slap the shit out of him!
I'm a sucker for other people's pain.
That feels good.
Dick will make you slap somebody.
Oprah Raymond style.
Vancouver's going to get 50 plus millimeters around.
My children, grandchildren, and great grandchildren.
All right, here we go. Hey, freaks. Timothy James Henson with you. I'm so happy to have you listening to the podcast. If this is your first time, well, you're in for quite a treat. You came on a good night. Tuesday is when we do something called Sextastic Tuesday. That's basically when I read disgusting porno stories to you. That's right, I still laugh at the word titty. I'm 12 years old. No, the reason why we do this is not to get you off. This isn't some sort of sicko podcast. We're all God-fearing people here. Christ is Lord and God is my co-pilot and all that bullshit. No, the reason why we read these disgusting, twisted stories is not to get you off, but to laugh at how poorly written or strange or grotesque these stories are. These stories are intended to get you off, but they miss the mark. So we're going to get into a brand new edition of Sextastic Tuesday in just a moment. But as a hors d'oeuvre, I've got a few sexy tweets here about Justin Bieber from underage girls. Parents, you gotta watch your children online. You might think to yourself, well, Twitter, how much trouble can these girls get into when they only have 140 characters to work with? Hey, the word dick is only four letters long. The answer is a lot of trouble these girls can get into. So 15-year-old Lauren says, and by the way, she includes her last name in her tweets, which is not a good idea for underage girls. All right. So in her profile, she's like, I'm 15 years old. I'm so inexperienced and naive. I make poor life choices. Here's my schedule for the next week. It includes everywhere I'm going to be and what I'll be wearing. All right, so here we go. Lauren writes, I am thirsty for Justin Bieber's dick. I'm not even going to deny it. And that part is in all caps. She really wants you to know she's not lying here. She's being totally serious. She's serial, guys. She's thirsty for Justin Bieber's dick. She's got a thirst that only Bieber's cock can quench. I think it has something to do with him being Canadian. So that is Lauren for you. I would give out her last name, but I feel like that's probably not a smart idea, even though it's in her goddamn Twitter handle. Whatever. Next up, 17-year-old Josh says, in all caps, at the end of the day, I want Justin Bieber's dick down my throat. Okay, bye. This is my main point here. I like how they just don't say what they want. You know what I mean? They really make it clear. They want everyone to know that they're serious and adamant about this all. I'm not even going to deny this. I'm not even going to try to. I'm thirsty for Justin Bieber's dick. I want Justin Bieber's dick down my throat. This is my main point. MTV's Hottest writes in, Justin Bieber, period. He can shove his dick down my throat any day. I'm pretty sure that's Kurt Loder's official Twitter account. I'm kind of fascinated by reading high school girls' Twitter account. That sounds really creepy, but I'm just fascinated because they're all whores now. Actually, you know, our friend Lauren, who includes her last name in her Twitter handle, she also wrote, Justin's in Bangkok. How ironic, because I want to bang his cock. And then there's another Belieber who is named Lexi. And I couldn't, on Lexi's profile, it doesn't say how old she is, but I know she is underage. She's in high school. And Even more fascinating than her obsession with Justin Bieber is her hatred for her bus driver. She's in quite the feud with her. This is in all caps. The bus driver just got smart with me. Who you getting smart with, bitch? And then the next tweet, OMG, that was beyond immature. So I was getting on the bus and this kid wouldn't move. So I pushed his ass and the bitch bus driver just tried to argue with me. OMG, not today, bitch, not today. That was beyond immature. And then her most recent tweet is, school with Tyler, Trevor, and Cornflake. Of course, she has a friend named Cornflake. I could read her tweets all day. I kind of want to follow her, but again, that's really creepy. Also, if you're underage, protect your tweets. So, you know, only your friends can read them. Good Christ. There's this kid on my bus. He likes to be called Biebs because he has Justin's hair flip. So we call him Wannabe Biebs. Now, it would be funnier if they call him Wannabeebs, right? Oh, kids. I hate these ugly-ass annoying things called humans at this place that reminds me of hell called school. Let me just punch a wall, please. I need to get my anger out. I hate, quote-unquote, human beings. Then it's right back to hating her bus driver. My bus driver better sleep with one fucking eye open. She's gonna wake up underwater. Oh my God, I'm mad as a... Who gets that angry with their bus driver? Oh my God, I need to punch a wall. I'm like beyond angry, but she said behind. Behind angry as hell. Take a shot for every time my bus driver pisses me the fuck off. You go to jail for being an alcoholic. Oh my God, she's a fucking bitch. She got the bus stuck for 2 hours, then hit a brick mailbox, then cried about it. Well, I gotta be honest with you, the bus driver does seem like quite a mess. So there you go, that's Lexi for you. And I think that's enough tweets for one day. Let's get into Sextastic Tuesday. I already explained what this bit is. Now, longtime listeners of the show know one of the most disturbing and disgusting stories I ever read was the account of one girl... This is supposedly true, but I don't believe it for one second. One girl who had a garbage fetish, and she would masturbate in the dumpster. Sounds about right. Is her name Lexi? Well, the story involved maggots. She scooped a bunch inside of her and pleasured herself with maggots wriggling about inside her. Now, this girl, Blowfly Girl, has a blog. And I haven't checked in with it recently. You know, there's only a few posts per year. Like in 2009, there were 3 posts. In 2010, there were 4 posts. In 2012, there was 1 post. It was titled, Finally Some Fun. Well, that sounds promising, doesn't it? Let's read it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Sextastic Tuesday.
It's Sextastic.
It was just getting light out Monday morning when I started driving home from work. It was overcast and gray and wet, and my mind was mostly on getting some sleep. But as I drove, I also began thinking about how bored I was. I really have been bored. Well, on the spur of the moment, I decided to go have some fun. No idea what, but it's been way too long since I've had any. I had all day. I got on the Eisenhower and started heading west. Traffic was already slow, and I wondered if I'd made a mistake. But soon I was on I-88, which was clear. Randomly, I exited on RT-59 by Aurora. Kept driving and started looking around for something interesting. All of a sudden, I was at Fox Valley Mall. Well, I hadn't been there in years. There's a road that rings the parking lot outside the mall. I drove slowly along the road, circling the mall a couple of times, hoping something would catch my eye and wondering what kind of fun I can make for myself outside a mall that isn't even open yet. There's a Greek restaurant on the west side of the mall. It has its own building and its own parking lot. The lot was empty. I drove around the back of the restaurant and saw a wooden enclosure where they keep their dumpster. Oh, her old friend, the dumpster. It was a pretty big enclosure for just a dumpster. I stopped and got out of the car and took a look. Well, this could be interesting. There were 4 dumpsters in the enclosure, 2 for oil and grease, 1 for garbage, and 1 for recyclables. I like dumpsters. This whole enclosure is filthy. Little bits of garbage are all over the asphalt pavement. There's a shovel, a gray plastic garbage can, a stack of bricks, some firewood. That's all that stuff's going in her cunt. I just know it. I'm so excited. I wanted to play in the garbage. I've known for a long time that I can't keep pretending that I've changed and I don't do horrible things to myself anymore. I had to do something to make myself feel real again. Most girls just cut themselves when they just slit their wrist because it's the only thing that feels real. Apparently, you know what else feels real? Sticking garbage up your pussy. All right, I got undressed, dropping my clothes on top of the stack of bricks, which seemed like the one relatively clean spot inside the enclosure. I probably didn't need to be totally naked, but I did it anyway. It was still chilly out, and the wet asphalt felt cold under my bare feet. The biggest dumpster, a blue one with two black plastic lids, caught my attention first. This was the one for regular garbage. I lifted one of the lids and looked inside and saw only black for a moment until my eyes adjusted. It was empty. Ah! Disappointed, I quietly closed the lid. There was a little black dirt on my hands. I smeared it across my breast just to feel dirty. Another smaller dumpster was for grease and had just one lid. There was whitish gray and light brown grease congealed all around the edge of the lid with little bits of probably old food caked in it. It looked so awful. I leaned forward and smeared my boobs into the grease. It felt rough and uncomfortable at first against my sensitive nipples, but it was also slippery and it smelled bad. I liked having it on my boobs. I wondered what was inside the dumpster. Lifting the lid, I found a plastic grid across the opening, I guess to keep large things from falling inside. And below that, it was dark. I couldn't tell how much grease was inside, but the grid itself was caked in the same brown and gray crust of congealed grease. I ran my fingers along part of the grid. Gobs of the grease came off in my hand. I squeezed, feeling it ooze between my fingers. It had a sharp, sour smell to it. So disgusting! I brought my hand down between my legs and pressed the grease against my vaginal lips. It felt so nasty, but so good at the same time. Smearing the grease between my lips with my middle finger, I thought, yeah, my poor pussy's waited so long to get what it deserves. Finally, some abuse! I managed to cover most of my front body with the grease and ended up leaning against the greasy dumpster playing with my clit. I was incredibly horny for the first time in a long time. I wished that the garbage dumpster hadn't been empty. That's when I noticed that gray plastic garbage can again. Well, it was worth a look. It turns out to be the jackpot! The can was about half full of discarded food. I could see pieces of vegetable, meat, noodles, rice, peels, mussel shells, all sorts of stuff mixed together with wet used napkins and used straws. I could tell immediately they scrape off people's plates into this can. It smelled really bad. I wanted it. I pushed the garbage can over, got on my hands and knees, and started pulling the mess of discarded food out onto the filthy pavement in front of the dumpsters. I think I'm right that this was scraped off people's plates, but there also seemed to be scraps from the kitchen, too. The garbage a little deeper down is darker and more brown. I decided it must be older than what's on top. So that's what I really wanted. I practically had my head in the can as I scooped out garbage from deep inside. I noticed myself breathing hard. I hadn't been this excited in a long time. I sat down right in the middle of the mess, scooped up a handful of it, and pressed it against my vagina. It felt cold and gross, but I didn't care. At least some of it went inside me. I was really wet already, but the grease helped it go in. This is what I wanted, I thought to myself, naked, sitting in a pile of garbage and masturbating with it. My heart is pounding and I feel alive. I can get so sick from this, but that just makes me more excited. There's a beer bottle in the pile. I pull it out and set it aside. Some grayish lumps of something, I think it's fat, and I push it into my vagina, along with wilted, mushy greens and some rice. They must serve a lot of rice because it's everywhere. A long black and silver strip of skin from a fish. It really smelled putrid. I pushed that inside me, too. Her vagina's like a trash compactor. This is what my body is for, I think. Was that a question? Is this what my body's for? Like, maybe she's just really clueless. She doesn't know what her pussy's for. All right. This is what my vagina is for, making me feel like this. Why did I try to avoid it for so long? My vagina felt full, but I wanted to keep going. I thought of pushing it all out and starting over, but I noticed the beer bottle again. I picked up the bottle and rolled myself onto my side. Holding the bottle by the neck with both hands, I pushed the large end of it into me. I closed my legs and pushed harder on the bottle. It made me come right then and there, really hard, with the bottle working like a plunger, pushing the garbage deeper inside me and spreading it around to make room for more. I wasn't even done coming when I sat back up and pulled the beer bottle out and went right back to stuffing up my vagina. I noticed a brownish-gray wad of gristle someone had chewed and spit out onto their plate. Lucky for me, I thought. I shoved it inside me. I found an octopus tentacle. Eggplant peels, olive pits, a chicken bone, some Kleenex, shrimp tails. It all went right up inside me until nothing else would go in. I used the beer bottle as a plunger again. Just like before, I suddenly began to orgasm. This time I was coming because I was so full of hurt. I like that. You come, you little bitch, when you're full of hurt. It hurt more when I push on the bottle. I needed to take as much garbage as I could inside my vagina, so I kept pushing it in anyway. I caught myself growling through my teeth from the effort of pushing so hard. By now, I'd stuffed myself with as much stinking, disgusting garbage as would fit, and my vagina was stretched as far as it could go. I was wet and filthy all over and shivering from the cold. I stood up as carefully as I could so none of my garbage would come out of my cunt, but there was no way I could put my clothes back on this way. I peeked out between the wooden doors to the enclosure. Seeing nobody, I grabbed my clothes and shuffled, bent over, back to my car as quickly as I could. My vagina ached so much, I couldn't stand up straight. It felt like I had a huge, heavy ball inside of me. Inside the car, I balled up my jeans and put them under my crotch so nothing would come out while I sat. Throwing on my hooded sweatshirt. Oh, she's into hoodies. A woman after my own heart. All right. I started the car and got away with the heater at full blast. Oh, that heat blasting, warming up all that garbage in her cunt. Oh, that car's got to stink. Getting from the car into my apartment was a struggle, but fortunately there wasn't much chance I'd be seen unless one of my neighbors stayed home from work or something. I went straight to my bedroom and pulled on three pairs of really tight panties. That's to keep the garbage in case her pussy starts to puke. Nothing comes out of me when I wear them like that. So I sat down on my bed and I felt a lump inside of me. I loved how it felt. It's garbage and I deserve to have it in me. It's disgusting and perverse, but at least I don't feel dead like I usually do. I wondered if I should keep it inside me, carrying the garbage around inside my vagina for a while. Maybe even for a couple of days, even if it makes me sick. But no, bad idea. I learned from the maggots. Instead, I took out one of my vibrators and played it against my clit while I pushed the whole mess out of me onto some paper towels. I got to come again. The garbage is now in a sealed plastic container under the sink. I think I'm going to let it rot for a while and then see what I can do with it. I also need to have my car's interior cleaned. I wasted a lot of time denying myself. It's been way more than a year since I did anything like this. I kept thinking it was my depression that made me want to do things to myself, and that if I succumbed to the desire, I'd end up backsliding again, losing my job and everything I've worked so hard for. And yes, I'm really scared of that ever happening, but maybe I don't have to be dead inside all of the time. I went to work last night and everything's fine. Maybe I'm depraved. Maybe I'm a filthy pig who can also manage to hold a job. There's some light at the end of the tunnel here. A silver lining, if you will. She's learning she can have her cake and eat it too. Or, in her case, maggots. She can have her maggots and eat them too. All right, there you go. That's your Sextastic Tuesday for September 24th, 2013. Brought to you by our amazing partners. I'm so sure they're glad to be associated with this program today. And this story, AdamandEve.com has an amazing deal for you. Half off just about any item. We're not talking, 10% off. Or some bullshit like that. Half off, 50%. Pick out something you like from their vast catalog of adult products. They've got lingerie, lube, toys for girls and boys. And even though I say girls and boys, you really should be of age to order this stuff. This is like adult toys, like butt plugs and, balls and things that go in your pussy hole. And, clit stimulators. I don't have to go through every sex toy there is, but, penis, masturbators, fleshlight, stuff like that. They've also got costumes, S&M gear, movies. Pick out something you like from their vast catalog. Add it to your cart. Then, during checkout, there's a little spot for promo codes. Enter coupon code FREAK. F-R-E-A-K. Or DV. Two little letters will save you 50%. Plus, they're going to throw in three free adult DVDs, a mystery gift, and all of that is going to be sent to you free of charge. That's right. No shipping charges whatsoever. You got to remember, though, use coupon code FREAK, F-R-E-A-K, or coupon code DV at checkout at adamandeve.com. And with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, and fucked up news right now. Today, I have an extended show. It's just for Sideshow Freaks. So if you want to hear the bonus content, you've got to sign up. SuperFreakSideshow.com. Help support the program. It's very inexpensive. It's only $6.99. It's like the price of a value meal. You'll get full access to the entire archive of programs. I've done a daily show since December 2004, so there are a lot of programs for you to listen to. Over 2,000. Plus, every week we do extended shows, like today's. On Thursday, we'll be back with an exclusive program just for paying members as well. So it's a great time to sign up. SuperFreakSideshow.com. All right, three quick stories, then we'll get the hell out of here. First up, we happen to have one from our most fucked up state. Say it with me.
Florida. Our most fucked up state.
We've got another hostage situation. Ranting that demons were coming after her, a Boynton Beach man tried to kill a woman and refused to let her out of her house for 10 hours. The 66-year-old woman woke up late Thursday to Pierre Franchi. F-R-A-N-C-H-I. I love that it's a French guy and his last name is Franchi, pretty much. That's kind of funny. It's mildly amusing. It kind of put a smile on my face. You know what else put a smile on my face? Holding an elderly woman hostage. All right, the 66-year-old woman woke up Thursday to Pierre Franchi, 29, grabbing her wrist, according to a police report. He tried to choke her with his hands and cords from the blinds in her bedroom. Then he grabbed a pillow and tried to smother her and hit her over the head with a handheld mirror. "I have to protect you," he said. "I have to kill the demons." He is from France, though. He literally is like someone who came over here to the United States as a foreign exchange student, then went back to France, and then, you know, returned. So I'm guessing his English wasn't that good. And really, how menacing is a French guy holding you hostage?
I smash mirror over your head. It'll cast off the devil.
Is that French?
The devil. Devil.
All right, whatever. Hours into the attack, the woman who hosted the man 10 years ago as a French exchange student and recently let him move back in, tragic mistake, escaped to a neighbor's house and called the police. Frenchie took off in her car, snatching her purse on the way. Cops arrested him later that day. The woman has a motherly affection for Franchi. I'm guessing that ended now. In January, Franchi spontaneously showed up at the woman's house and asked to live with her again, and she agreed, like a moron. She told police he often behaves unusually, saying he's prone to rants, spurts of unprompted laughter, and excessive chatter. He has never been arrested in Florida. Well, now he has. On Thursday, the woman confronted Franchi for leaving a wet towel over a chair. Well, that just spurred an argument, which lasted for about an hour before the woman ended it and went to bed at around 11 p.m. 3 hours later, he woke the woman up and the attack began. Naturally, he was under the impression she was possessed by the devil. The woman pleaded with him to stop and told him there were no demons, but he continued. He was concerned that she'd called 911 for help, so he broke her cell phone and almost went after a rotary phone. Old women and their rotary phones. Until she told him it was decorative and non-functional. The woman struggled against him again and fell to the floor, where Franchi ordered her to bow to him and ripped off her necklace and bracelets. When she broke free, she went into the bathroom and stayed there for hours. He was standing outside the door demanding she come back out. The woman tried to escape through the window, but couldn't. Too fat. She yelled for help, but he blared music to drown her out.
Someone help me! I'm being held hostage!
Well, I know I'm gonna be the man who...
This song is very versatile. It's perfect for any situation. Hostage, rape, whatever. At any rate, good old Franchi was booked into the Palm Beach County Jail on multiple charges.
Fuck you if you're not from Palm Beach County.
Well, he's not from Palm Beach County per se. He was living there. He's originally from France. He should use that as his defense. Just say he was trying to have sex with the broad. In my country, how do you say, this is how we foreplay? Okay. We bust a mirror over the bitch's head. All right, I don't know. I ended up sounding like Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, I think. All right, he was booked into Palm Beach County Jail on multiple charges, including aggravated battery on a person over 65, false imprisonment, grand theft, and depriving use of 911. Late Monday, he remained behind bars in lieu of $30,000 bail, jail records show. So there you go. Second story we have for you today also comes from our most fucked up state.
Florida, our most fucked up state.
All right, look, you can't pay your water bill with drugs. Public utilities tend to frown upon the barter system to begin with. But, you know, they're drugs, after all. All right, yes, it's not okay to pay your water bill with cocaine. Employees at the Deltona Water Office on Enterprise Road were evacuated yesterday morning after a customer handed a cashier an envelope with a white powder in it. Oh, they thought it was anthrax or something. At approximately 9:56, the water department employees called the county sheriff's office to check out the suspicious substance. The employees were evacuated from the building. The sheriff's office and hazmat teams and the Deltona Fire Department responded. The powder was tested. Interestingly enough, it was crack cocaine. The sheriff's office will continue to investigate. The police did say there are surveillance cameras in the Deltona water building, so they might be able to track down the guy that way. The guy just wants his water turned back on. He didn't have any money. It's the only thing of value that he had. You know it's pretty bad when a crack addict will part with some of his drugs. You've seen drug addicts. They're thin and sickly looking. It's because they choose drugs over food, drugs over sleep, drugs over water. This guy was just a little too thirsty, apparently. All right, final story we have for you today. Oh, great. Another story about another old woman. Gran Tracy Vineyard. I don't know. This is written in the UK, so I'm assuming Gran means granny. Granny Tracy Vineyard set herself a bizarre challenge, traveling 300 miles from her home to London on a 4-mile-per-hour mobility scooter. You know why she decided to do this? Because she's got nothing else to do. She doesn't have to work. She's old. She's, you know, just waiting around to die, basically. Her epic 2-week trek. 2 weeks? That's all. It seems like it would take longer, going only 4 miles an hour. Her epic 2-week trek left her robbed, arrested, sleeping rough, towed, and lost. Sounds about right for an elderly person. When she reached her final destination at her dad's house, he wasn't even home. What is even odder is that her dad is alive. No, she's only 50 years old, so, you know, she's not technically elderly. But she's on a mobility scooter, so that pushes over, that tips the scale a bit. What's even odder is that Tracy 50 doesn't need to use a scooter. She doesn't even need to use a scooter, but is passionate about rights for the disabled. Oh, I can't get behind this broad at all. We have nothing in common. Tracy, who runs a bed and breakfast in Blackpool, I would check your bed and breakfast, because I think the people staying there probably stole all your stuff. The owner of the house is gone? Fuck. Take all her shit. Tracy, who runs a bed and breakfast in Blackpool, said, I was think about something unusual. What is this, a fucking mongoloid or something? I was think about something unusual to do. It would highlight my disability access. I came up with a rough route and just set off. Most people told me that I wouldn't get as far as Preston, but I proved them wrong. Tracy, a former pub landlord who has 3 children and 7 grandchildren, set off with no hotel bookings or anywhere to stay on the trip. She said she had no idea how long the journey would take, and she had no tent. She just had 1 pink suitcase and a couple of old laundry bags to cover the batteries on the scooter if it rained. She looked like a homeless person. She used her mobile phone's GPS as a map, but that was stolen just 4 days into the journey when she was robbed outside of a McDonald's. At times, she spent more than 24 hours at once traveling on the electric scooter. How is that possible?
without charging. There's no way she spent 24 hours actually traveling. I guess she carried several batteries so she could keep going for long periods of time. And what a waste of time and money. You know, she had to buy all these extra batteries, not to mention the driving in the rain and all this shit. In total, her journey took her from Cleveleys near Blackpool to Preston, Manchester, Stockport, Buxton, Derby, Northampton, Watford, and finally London. Then on her way home, she hired a van to take her home, only to have a blowout on the road. The journey echoes a forthcoming film, the Harry Hill movie, starring the comedian and Julie Walters, about a man who completes a journey from Blackpool to London by mobility scooter. Oh, this isn't even an original idea. This is derivative. And then she got robbed at McDonald's. She also knocked a cyclist off of his bicycle, injured him, and then they became friends. She stayed at his place overnight. And then her dad wasn't home. She had to call her cousin when she finally got to London. I survived on power naps and the kindness of people I met on the way. It was a great achievement, but I'm not sure I would try it again. Because in the end, you've got absolutely nothing to show for it, aside from this stupid little news article. I'm not even sure what she was trying to say. She said she was trying to raise awareness about the disabled, but, you know, no one disabled would be this stupid. Yes, I'm going to ride my scooter 300 miles to London. You know what else they could do? Take a fucking plane. I've been on flights. There are crippled people there all the time. All right, there you go. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. Yeah, just a few voicemails today, checking in with my freak, seeing what they're up to.
Timothy James Jensen. Hey, just to compliment you on your new hit single.
Thank you.
I forget what it's called, but
Carbon
the one you played on Friday the 13th. It's amazing. I just never heard anything quite like that from you. Far and above processed cheese, even, which was a masterpiece in and of itself.
Well, you know, you never think you're going to top your most popular hit. You never think lightning's going to strike twice, but it certainly did.
So let's just call it a tour de force for Timothy James Jensen.
Thank you very much. And if you would like to try your hand at a cover, I'd be happy to send you the lyrics to Carbon Chaperone.
Jagoo, Timmy Boo. It's Aaron calling from Canada here.
Hello.
I have a little story I wanted to share with you that mostly relates to how much I hate black people. So I went to go see a movie Sunday night. It was Insidious 2. And the entire fucking movie was filled with goddamn porch monkeys. Of course, Canadian black people aren't as black as the ones you have down there in the States, but they're all fucking talking and on their cell phone and hooting and hollering. And I look in front of me, and what do I see but one of the negress and her several nigglets was recording the movie. Oh, boy.
Bootlegging.
So I went outside and told the manager, and the manager called the police. And I went back in and enjoyed my movie. And about, like, 20 minutes later, like, four cops show up in the theater and, like, drag her ass out. And her fucking nigglet starts to cry. And it made my day. And then apparently she gets prosecuted. Successfully, I got like $1,000 reward. So wanted to share with you how much I hate black
people. You get a reward for that shit?
Black people and their little nigger babies.
Oh, my God.
And
Jesus.
Thanks for the show, Timmy Boo.
You're
keep up the good work.
Very racist. I don't want that on my program.
Hey, Timmy. It's Greg from Austin. I'm sure.
I like how he said that after I played your entire voicemail. I don't want to hear. We got to stop this.
Hey, Timmy, it's Greg from Austin. I'm sure you've already gotten calls on this because I'm listening to one of your shows a little late. I'm listening to the Wednesday, September 11th show, and you're making fun of the guy complaining about statutory rape laws. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not taking a stance one way or the other, but there's a difference between rape and statutory rape. Rape, obviously, is when you force yourself onto a woman or anybody who doesn't want sexual intercourse. Statutory rape is where someone who is legally an adult has sex with someone who is legally a minor. So, for example, if an 18-year-old has consensual sex with his 17-year-old girlfriend, he can go to prison for statutory rape. Her parents can actually press charges.
I feel like I know this.
If she was,
why are you schooling me on this?
Consenting the entire time. Even if she were to state that she was consensual to it.
I know.
Like, even in a court of law, he can go to prison because he is a legal adult having sex with a minor.
I still feel like if you went to school with the person at some point, even if you graduated since then, you should get a free pass. You know what I mean? Like, if you're 17 and you start dating a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old, and then you graduate, I don't think they should be able to put you behind bars because you were in high school with her at some point. Right? Come on.
Hello, Tim. Billy Thomas here. Listening to your September 11th special show. It's last about Boxing Day, Canada. Actually, Boxing Day is celebrated in all of the Commonwealth nations, of which Canada is one. It originated when servants and tradesmen would relieve gifts from their superiors.
I don't care. I don't celebrate it, so I don't care.
Congratulations, Miley Cyrus. You did it. You took away everything that's attractive about women and just gave us the shit that we don't want.
Yeah. Well,
I'd rather fuck my buddies.
She was pretty gross on those VMAs, huh? I like, you know, Cher had a comment that Miley Cyrus's tongue was coated, which was gross. She's like, if you're going to perform, make sure your tongue's not all white and gross. You probably stunk.
Hey, Tim.
A breathman or something.
LeBaron here. First of all, I'm glad my name makes you think of the two Johansson guys who had raw meat shoved in them.
Right. Second of all, yes.
Oh, my God. Carbon Chaperone. That was legitimate. Like, when you were first talking about, oh, I'm in a song, yeah, processed cheese, I was like, okay, calm down, Tim. But I heard it, and it was, like, a legitimate song. Like, I would put that on my iPod and play it for my friends. Like, it was a song. Okay, I think that was, like, okay, really good job, Tim. I don't say this a lot, but you did a really good job.
Thank you.
And I really mean it. Thank you.
People actually like Carbon Chaperone for Cocculus. Corey's version is great, though, and I know VSP's remix is going to be awesome. Like, if anyone wants to try their hand at a cover, I more than support that idea. All right, that's all the time we have on this edition of the show. I want you guys to email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you at 206-666-4463. That's 206-660-GOD. Is it oh God?
I need my inhaler.
Spread the distortion. Tell all your friends about the podcast. Don't forget to rate us and review us on iTunes. If you're Android users, you can download the new Distorted View app. Just search for Distorted View in the Google Play Store. Stick around for extended content. Otherwise, I will see you back tomorrow for the Wednesday program. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody. Oh,